our Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the precious Word of God we have that we can open and know and hear the voice of God through this precious book that you inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we come this morning looking again to that destiny where God has is preparing for us today as we started last week this series of few services. I pray today that you would anoint me in such a way that I could be the vessel for you to speak even beyond that, beyond my language, Lord, to individual hearts who have a need, for you to supply every need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be taking your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 14. Now, last week, while you're turning there, I just want to make mention the fact that we started a message last week, and the name of the message I started was that my destiny is not just heaven, it's home. And so in my studying, I broke this down. I wanted to do it in one service, but I said, this is too great to even try, so I'm going to do my best to do it in at least three services, Lord willing. But in John chapter 14 is the verses of Scripture where we'll go reading to begin with, where Jesus makes this statement in the first six verses. He said, "And let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, he says, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now, before we move to the next verse of Scripture, what we're seeing here at this particular time, Jesus gave us, we kind of see the formula here. Jesus said, I go. There's a place. I go, a real place. He said, if I go, I will come again. There's a promise. I will come back and receive you. And then we see in verse 6, he gives us the provision. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we're seeing in these verses, by the way, I believe the Scriptures are very clear, and sometimes I try to take my time more so than I maybe did a few years ago, that it's so important that we understand the clarity of what the Scriptures said about some things, and this is something when it comes to eternal life and our destiny, which is on the other side. And so Jesus here tells us he's going to prepare a place. He tells us that if he goes, he'll come again. So we see the place. We see his will. He made the promise of that, and it said in his will. And then he told us he made a provision. The provision is that you and I can't provide what's needed before God to stand in his presence on our own. We need his help. And so here, Jesus gives this before he even goes to Calvary, before he even dies on Calvary at the time. Now, heaven is a place. We said last week, you cannot be in a place without being in a condition. And this is the thing that people try to look at today. Well, if I don't get saved, I'm still go to heaven. No, you can't. You won't be conditioned to go to heaven. You've got to have what God has to go to heaven. You've got to have rights. See, righteous and unrighteous can't dwell together except in this body. And the only reason it's here because we're in a flesh, and that new creation in us who've been saved is going to be put in a glorified body one day. And that's when God's going to take us home and be with him. And we can live in the presence of God under those circumstances. So we said you cannot be in a place without being in a condition. And the condition that you're in would be more important than the place. And that's the reason we talked about, even about a person with an evil heart would be out of place in heaven. Because in heaven, holiness and righteousness and that which is purity is there. Anything unholy, unrighteous, not pure can't feel comfortable in a holy place. Hey, preach, how you know that? I know this. Anytime an unsaved person comes off the street into a church that preaches the Word of God and preaches this Bible and certainly preaches the gospel, has an unusual feeling. It's called conviction. It's called conviction, you see. The flesh itself has a tendency to deal a different way with conviction than it is when you hear the Word of God and you trust Christ as Savior. Then you don't get convicted to be saved again if you're saved because you're already saved. We may get convicted what we should be doing, but we're already saved. So therefore, a person has an evil heart is out of place in heaven. That's the reason nobody who's never been born again can ever go to heaven, as we see the Bible teaches in the age of grace. Now, we said heaven is a place, and we said it's a destiny that's our home, not just heaven, but it's our home. Even Squire Parson wrote a song back a few years ago that said, some call it heaven, I call it home. In fact, the trio sings that from time to time. And what a wonderful thought about heaven is more than just a place, it's home. It's home. Now, why do I call it home? Because Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. That means the Father's there. That's family, ladies and gentlemen. Relationship with God is family. We're going home, though we've never been there, if you've been born again. That's the reason it seemed, we want to look at this with a reality. It's a sad thing for a person to die this side of eternity and not know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's too important to play havoc with in our life. It's also home because the family's there. Those who've been born again are going to be there. It's home because there's fellowship there. We're going to understand what undisturbed, unchangeable, unspeakable fellowship is when we get there. It's my home, and it's an intellectual and also social activity going to be going on there. I'll know things that I don't even know today, and so will you. Jesus Christ with God the Father is going to receive us there. We're going to see the Holy Spirit like we've never seen him here. We felt his presence. We thank God for the book. We thank God for interpretation of this book to our heart. But one day we're going to see him in reality with those glorified eyes. And so here, when we get to heaven, I even said last week to close up with that the day is going to come that Jesus Christ is going to get up after he gets us home from the right side of God the Father, and he's going to take his wonderful bride that he washed in the blessed, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to introduce us to God the Father. And he's going to say, here it, my bride that I went and got, my Father, here is the one I've died for, and here's the one that deserves to be here, not because of who they are in the sense of how they lived on earth as much, but who they are in me. I died for them. And what a joy that's going to be in that particular day. Now, I want to move over, if we lived last week for just a minute, in 1 Thessalonians, we see where God Almighty gave us, not only Jesus tells us about the place and the promise and made provisions from it, but if you look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and read that quickly, and I'm just going to get quickly to the service as quick as I can. Here's about 21 years later after John 14. And now we have the plan. 21 years later, God gives Apostle Paul to the third church at Thessalonica the plan, how he's going to come and receive his church unto him in the age of grace. He said in verse 13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Notice the word if. If we believe, notice that Jesus died and rose again. Amen. 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 Now you put that together, Romans 10, 9, and 10, you're going to find out that the resurrection is an important part of the person trusting Christ as Savior. He said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, then he is asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of our archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul says, as the Holy Spirit led him, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So not only I see God says there's a place, he said, I'll come. If I go, I'll come again. It's a promise. And I see he made a provision, and now he's telling me how he's going to bring about us getting home to him if we happen to be alive at the time of the rapture, how it's going to take place. Those who've gone on with the Lord are going to come back first, and of course they will be raised from the dead, and we which are alive will be changed. Now turn with me, if you will, Revelation chapter 21. Now we're going to look at description. God has told me there's a place. He's told me that he will come again if I go, and I know he did. He's made provisions for it. He's told us how it's going to happen, so the age of grace will have these truths before us to know that God keeps his word. And then in Revelation chapter 21, we're going to be in this chapter for the rest of a few weeks here and look at some things, what other things in the Bible, to see that describes this place where we're going to be at. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, to judgment. And I believe that. I believe that. Now, in Jesus Christ, we find the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to our works for rewards. Outside of Christ, the great white throne judgment, which has come back in chapter 20 here and in the book of Revelation. So there's going to be, everyone's going to go before either the bema seat or the bar, judgment bar of God. I read where there's a man died. He went before the judgment bar of God. And when he got there, one of the angels said to him, he said, sir, he said, before you meet God, he said, we kind of looked over your record here, and honestly, we can't find anything too bad or too good at all you've done. There's not a whole lot said. Can you help us out a little bit about that? He said, what do you mean? He said, can you give us anything that can help us make a decision about where you should be at? He said, well, you know, one thing I think that I could give you. He said, I was riding down recently a road. He said, I saw this young fella had been pulled out of his car, and there's some thugs on a motorcycle, and they were harassing him and beating him. And he said, I stopped my car, and I got out, and I got in the back of my trunk. I got a ball bat out, and I walked up to the biggest, roughest one that looked like the leader with his tattoos and all, and I took that bat, and I chuck him in the chest. And I said, hey, you quit messing with that fella. If you want to pick on someone like me. And he said, just show I mean business. He said he had an earring in his lip. And he said, I ripped that earring out of his lip. And I said, pick on me if you're going to pick on anybody. And the angel said, my, he said, that is impressive. When did this happen? He said, about 3 minutes ago. Well, there is a judgment bar, ladies and gentlemen, that they're going to stand before. But I'll never have to stand before the great white throne judgment. Why? Jesus took my place. Amen. He paid the price for me. Not only are we going to see that, but not only as far as the Bema Seat of Christ, but this is a place. I read a little story that fits along this line, too, where a little fellow named Bobby, at 5 years old, went to spend a week with his grandmother and granddaddy. And they lived out on the farm. And so they were sitting out in the afternoon on the porch, and little Bobby turned to his granddad and he said, granddaddy, do you know how to make animal sounds? And granddad said, sure I do. He said, what kind of sound would you like me to make? He said, I wish you'd make a sound like a toad or a frog. And so granddaddy said, rickle, rickle, rickle. And all of a sudden, little Bobby got jumping up and down. We're going to Miami. We're going to Miami. We're going to Miami. And Grandpa said, well, son, why would you say that? He said, Grandma said, when granddad croaks, we're going to go to Miami. Well, there's a place, and Jesus has prepared the way. You and I can't get there on our own. And God has told us a lot of things about this at this time. Now, I want to go back just a moment, because, ladies and gentlemen, you know as good as I do, we're never completely satisfied here. It's in spurts, isn't it? And they're short spurts. We have sometimes a little satisfaction, but we're never satisfied here. And I'm glad, because God said in Psalm 17:15 through David, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Watch this now. He said, behold, I'll hold thy face in righteousness. Then he said, I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. In other words, I'll only be satisfied when I wake in God's likeness. There's a lot got to happen to us before we wake in his likeness. First of all, we got to be born again. And second, we got to leave this life. Because we wake up in this life, but we're not in his presence yet. But there's coming a day he's going to fulfill everything he said about us being completely in his likeness. Now, let me go back and prove that to you. Moses, for instance, in the Old Testament. If you will turn with me to Exodus 33. And all this is kind of introduction. It may all get, but I'm going to take it as slow as I need to take it. Don't go to sleep. But don't have somebody tap you on the head. Amen. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses has much about God as anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. God spoke to him in the burning bush. God spoke to him when it comes to as a friend. In Exodus 33, verse 11, he said, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh as unto a friend, or speaketh unto a friend. God was amazed with the plagues that God brought upon Egypt through the hand of Moses. When God grew anger with Israel and forsook her, God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen, stayed with Moses. He spoke to Moses as a man speaks to a friend. Verse 11 teaches that in verse 33. But that wasn't enough for Moses. Moses himself yearned for more. And we see this in these verses. In 12, he said, Moses said to the Lord, thou said to me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wast send me with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And Moses said, you told me to bring them up, but Moses knew he didn't have the power to do it. He said, God, you didn't give me anybody to help me bring these people out of the land of Egypt at this time. And he goes on and he talks about, he said, if you don't go with me, verse 15, and said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up. He said, Lord, if you don't go with us out of this land, don't let us go. Because Moses knew he didn't have the power to lead them. And so God told Moses this. He said in verse 17, he said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do these things that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then he said, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. You think that would be enough, don't you? But Moses said, no, Lord, I'm not satisfied. Show me thy glory. And then He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. In verse 20, God said, and he said, this is God speaking, thou shalt not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. No man shall see me and live. He's talking about in this body of flesh. God has to do something, tone it down, do some other way of arranging himself to be seen other than who he is or like who he is as almighty, holy, righteous, pure God. Because that is something you can't stand in the presence of to see with eyes unless you are like him. And that's what he's done for us in the glorified body. Now watch. He said, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And he said, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, I will put thee in the cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He said, I'm going to put you in the cliff of this rock, and I'm going to pass by, he said, but I'll take away my hand that thou may see my back parts, but thy face shall not be seen. Now, I believe that, folks. I believe in my heart, if God come here today, he'd do something for us. If we'd see him like he is, with even us who are saved in this body who's never been saved, we'd probably all fall dead. You said, I don't know. I'm telling you, my God is not like the God this world looks at. Ladies and gentlemen, he's holy and always has been and always will be holy. So here, Moses wanted to see God. Note that. Isn't that what we long for too? If you're saved, you long to see him. If not, there's something wrong with your heart. You can't live and go through things and pray to him like we do if we didn't want to actually see him. Satisfied, that is one thing we are not. We are not satisfied here. Well, preacher, I am a little bit. Well, let me give you some examples. This won't be long before Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Day, probably most of you will be with family somewhere or another and probably have the best meal cooked by family. And you sat down. And I guarantee you, there's been many times you slid back from the table after you had a great meal and good fellowship, and you stuck your belly out and said, boy, I am satisfied. I am stuffed to the brim. I am satisfied. But not long. Because before dark comes, you're back in there trying to pick more meat off of those bones again. Why? Something has happened. It's come back to us again. So we go back to do it just again. That's everyday life. And so there's something got to be more than what we see here to bring satisfaction to us as we talk of the place where we're going to go. We wake up after a good night's rest. And we wake up sometimes, and I do. I got up this morning about 3:30 because I go to my study and study some. And I get up, and I feel so good. I told my wife, so I feel much better. See, I'm going there early to study and then trying to wait a little bit late and then fight to get to church and so forth. But you get up sometimes, you feel so good. And then you say, man, I'm satisfied. I got a good night's sleep tonight. But by 12 hours later, you're climbing back in no sheet again. It don't last long, does it? We find that, ladies and gentlemen, in this particular life. We plan for, we plan for vacation. And people plan for it and look for it. Sometimes a whole year plan for it. And then you know how that is. You get off, you get into fun, have the joy, and go forward. By the time you get back home, you give out, and you wish you could have another vacation on the vacation. Because nothing really fully satisfies. Wonder why? Because the only thing you satisfy is God. And I'll show you what we're talking about in looking at this. We come into this world as a child. We say, oh, if I was only a teenager. And then we get to be a teenager. Oh, if I was only an adult. Then we get to be an adult. Oh, if I could just find someone to marry. And then we get them. And then we say, oh, we just have some children. And then suddenly you have some children. You say, oh, my, I wish those children were grown. And then they get grown. Then you say, I wish they'd visit us once in a while. We're never satisfied. All through life, I went through these things. There's not a lot here that you and I to satisfy on a permanent basis. Things are always disappointing us. And then suddenly, we wish the kids would visit some. And then that time comes to retire. And retire, and we sit back in a rocking chair with stiff joints and fading sights, and we say, I wish I was a child again. We're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. And the reason for that is contentment here is difficult. Why? Because there is nothing on earth that can satisfy the deepest longing you and I have except God. And I'm telling you, we long to see God and fail to understand it. All people are trying to find a way to him somehow or another. That's the reason you go anywhere on the place of this earth and most people will be serving or looking to serve some type of God. Because they realize there's someone that's greater than they, and they cannot be satisfied and have not been contentment and satisfaction here in this life as long as they've been living. They had short spurts of it, but that's about all. And so what we do, we see sin has separated us from God. And therefore, we're miserable in this life until that equation has been set back right. And Jesus Christ, it's told us in John 14:6, He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's the only way that we can get self-satisfaction. How do I know that? We can't be satisfied. We're hungering for something not found here on this earth. And we find in John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip said it right when he said, Lord, show us the Father and it suffice us. So we're not going to be completely satisfied until we get home on the other side. And so I come down to the book of Revelation now, and I want to read what God says. I've skipped if you go with me, look in chapter 21, I want to go verse 1. I want to read down verse 1 to 11, and then next week I won't do as much as reading before. You have them down, and you read them before you get here, and I won't have to read them. How about that? That'd be a good thing to do. I won't have to read them. Look in Revelation 21. And John said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears and eye from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Remember that. He said the former things are passed away. Now, you're going to find the Bible speaks of a number of things in the Bible that whereas talks about is not going to be there, and some things that are there that won't be in heaven. Well, what is not mentioned by name, the former things take care of it. So he's talking about anything in the past. And then he says, watch, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I'll make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Listen to me. This is 63 years after what Jesus said in John chapter 14. When John saw this on the Isle of Patmos. So we come here, we see God has told us a place. He said he made a promise and he made a provision. 21 years later, he told us how he was going to bring it about and get in his church home. And now, 63 years after of John 14, he's telling us description of this home that we're going to. And if that's where we're going, I think we're going to look at it. Amen. Let me ask you, do you buy a house without going to look at it? No, I bet you look at 4 or 5 before you buy it unless you got some kind of plan for it. Well, this is our home. This is the greatest instruction we have about our home. And John only always says, it's the Holy Spirit gives it. He just shows it as a city. And this city is given to us as the bride of Christ because that's where the bride's going to be. By the way, I understand that here. This is a building. We call it the church. But ladies and gentlemen, you leave and the church gone. You are the church if you're saved. You're the tabernacle. Your body is the temple of God when you're here. So what happens? We come here to worship God, but this building is no more than a building. And God is telling us this new Jerusalem that he's preparing for us is for his saints. And when you see these things, you're going to be blessed if you're saved. If not, I believe you want to get saved. And I believe if you hope you're saved, you'll say, I got to do better than that. Because this is real, folks. And hey, you heard me talk about my thank God for these 54 years serving God. God is helping me connect dots that's blowing my mind. It just seemed like things I've studied up through the years, I'm just seeing dots. And now, here's something, and see how even with this, what Jesus said, the dots have been connected to the revelation. No, she said, and I beheld a great boy. No, look down, he said. And he said on the throne, said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Isn't it amazing that God had to tell us that? That God who is speaking would have to tell us, listen, John, write down, these are true and faithful words. And then watch. He said, and he said unto me, 3 words. Read it with me. It is done. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Hey, folks, listen. This was said almost 2,000 years ago, about 96 A.D. And when God gave John this vision, This, what a mirage. It was a vision of the truth, what's going to happen in the future. And when he finished, he said, John, it is done. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that if Jesus would come right now, and he could, it'd be 1,007 years before we'd see this taking place completely as the Jerusalem came down. Because it's after chapter 20, which shows the great white throne judgment. So what we're saying is, it's 2,000 years ago nearly he said it, and it hasn't happened. But in 2,000 years ago, God said, John, it's done, son. You know why? Because he lives to bring it about. He's the I am. No present time at all. I had a brother here not long ago. He said he's born again in a business I was talking to. He said, preacher, I'm going to ask you something. He said, someone told me today, I don't know if I told this before, someone told me today, I'll pay you tomorrow. He said, no, you won't. He said, why not? He said, there is no such thing as tomorrow. And I said, you tell me that? I sure did. He said, let me ask you, do you know what I was saying? And I said, well, you know what? If you look at it, God, there's no such thing as God. And he looked on. He said, you know, the first preacher to answer that for me. There is no such a thing as tomorrow for God. He's always in the I am. He breaks it down for us to understand in time. See, we're in time. He breaks it down. Thank God for that. I know we met at 10 o'clock. We didn't just say we're going to meet this morning sometime. We have day, night, and day. Here, this city doesn't have enough daytime. There is no such thing with time. God is eternal. And he talks in the I am. Present tense. He doesn't have to worry about the past. He don't have to worry about the future. He lives now, and because he's holy, righteous, nothing has to change. He just continues on throughout eternity. And when you get the glorified body and I get the glorified body, so will we. That's what we're seeing here in these words. Then notice he said, I'm Alpha Omega. That shows he can bring it about. And he said, the beginning, the end, I'll give him that is the thirst of the fountain, the water of life, freedom. Now, that's the key. That's a phrase I've read many times and amazed how much connection a doctor can help me understand that verse. Then I go on and I say, and he that overcometh, watch this now, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Notice a personal situation. And then he said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Isn't it amazing? A lot of folks don't believe in hell, and right here he calls it fire and brimstone. By the way, this is not John kind of dreaming it up. This is what God is telling John. God has said, and there's fire and brimstone in hell. Then he says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which are the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He called that over adorned. The city come down as a bride adorned for her husband. He said, come here, I want to show you the bride. Whoa, oh, glory to God. He said, I want to show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You're going to see him like chapter 19. In the linen, which is the actually very glory of God. He says this. He says in verse 7 of chapter 19, he said, and it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's what makes us candidates for heaven, because that righteousness is his righteousness imputed to you and I. And then he said, and he carried me away on the mountain, showed this, and right, Jerusalem sent out of heaven from God. And then this city having the glory of God, and also he said, her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say again, today and the next few weeks, the subject's going to be, again, some call it heaven, but I call it home. Did you know, I wished, and I say this humbly, I wished I could describe this place called heaven with the description it deserves. I've thought about it a lot in the last few years. I've been in this thing for over 2 months now. When I look at this, I wished I could process the vocabulary in an intelligent way, or the insight in such a way that you could get it more than what I could give it. But I can't. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try because I believe heaven is our home. I really do. That song that was written, How Beautiful Heaven Is, man alive, I don't think we can describe it. How beautiful heaven must be. You want to sing with me? Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Sing the first verse. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Help me sing the chorus. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair heaven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And folks, you can't do it justice. Now, when I look at this, I it amazes me. When I look here in verse 11, when he said her light was like a stone. I go back and remind me, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He teaches to let our light shine. And I got to studying the word light. Just the word L-I-G-H, and I'm amazed. I'm amazed how scientists say light works and what it's made of and what it does. And then understand that God said he was light. And see, I got to wait till I get there. I get on these rabbit trails, and I declare I can't get off of it. And some of you look at your watch and say, man, he's already, well, I've not got there yet. I still got 30 minutes, haven't I? I wished I could describe it, but I can't. But let's take a survey of this place called heaven. Heaven is more than a place for you, though, if you're saved. And that's what I want you to get out of this. It's home. It's home. Heaven is that glorious land which is the home of Almighty God. It's the home of God the Son. It's the home of the Holy Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's the home of the redeemed of those who trusted Christ as their personal Savior. It's your home if you're saved. If you're not, I beg you, please don't leave this place not saved. Folks, if I know my heart, there's a hell and there's a heaven, and only Jesus Christ can keep you out of hell and send you to heaven. Don't leave this morning if you don't know Jesus Christ. Please, I'll stay all afternoon if I have to talk to you. But don't leave if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what I want you to know is this. It's a glorious place for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me just a moment. I have time, just this thought. If you listen to most people talk today, you'll find out we're not as anxious to get to heaven as we say we are. Well, I wish the Lord come on back. Yeah. Well, if you don't come back, I'll tell you another way you can get there pretty fast. Through the exodus of death. Now, that don't mean you should self-destruct, because then you shame God. But physical death. But now, we know physical death to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But have you thought, and I sat and thought about this, did you know when sickness comes, we try everything we can to stay here as long as we can. So heaven's not really anxious to see us as much as we say we are. You say something wrong with that preacher? No, sir, I do it too. I tell you what. I mean, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. I got to go. I have to go about every 6 months. It may be every 3 months after tomorrow. I don't know. What am I saying? We go see the doctor, don't we? We listen to a doctor diagnose and give us medicine. We don't know what the medicine is, but we take it. Why? We might die. Now, what I'm saying is this. Death is a reality, but don't we try as long as we can to stay here as long as we can? Ladies and gentlemen, that's important. We call the doctor, take the medicine. We call the church to pray for us, and we do that, and God encourages us to do that. But let's face it, we love this life, and we want to stay here as long as we can. That's understandable, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with that if God is where he ought to be. Because here's the only place he can serve him. And it counts. The glorified body is going to do exactly what the new creation. You know what? This new creation in you and I, and by the way, Peter says we got the life of God in us. It's in a body that's frail, though. This, you've heard me say, never got redeemed. And I'm battling all the time, and so are you. You're battling all the time while you're here in this flesh. The fact that you're having to fight the flesh and the new creation are in battle with each other. And here's the thing about it. The new creation is there, but if you don't feed it through this book like you feed this body to make it survive, the body, in essence, will rule. And that's what Romans tells us. It's not to have dominion over us, but it does most of the time. We make decisions based on what we feel in this life. Well, we never ask, what if I make a decision, would this dishonor God? Would this show someone I'm less Christian than I am a Christian? If I have to do this, that, you know, we never think about that in this life. And one thing I know, that death is coming, but I do everything I can, and I believe God would have me do everything I can. And by the way, I believe God would have me to call somebody to pray for me if I get real bad off. He tells us that we're to pray for each other. We ought to pray, though, and ask God's will for that, and not be, to think that these things will keep us alive forever. They won't, because God has said it's appointed to man to die, and after that, the judgment. So this is understandable. Now, since we are looking forward to take our journey in a future home, let's try then to wrap our minds around what the Bible has to say about the place called heaven that we call home. And if we can, that will give us a preparation a little bit about how much we should be doing now till we get there to serve the living God here and be appreciative of what God is showing us. As the world says, you people in just a straitjacket. They're just trying to put you in a religious straitjacket. You can't have no fun, no freedom, nothing. Boy, are they crazy. The Bible calls them fools. They're not to trust Christ as Savior, not to believe in the true and living God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you learn what God has for us, it does to you, something to you. It revolutionizes life. It does something in your heart. You can explain it. Because when they are mocking, you're laughing. When they are mocking, you're praising God. When they are calling you out of your mind, you say, praise God, leave me alone. Amen? Because God is showing us something that gives reality of things. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And he tells that it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith in these days now, you know what? It seems like people are teaching now that God has faith for people just to get things for themselves. That's greed. And greed never satisfies us. Never does. And we find ourselves in this life coming up short a lot of times like that. Some may call it heaven right now, but we call it home. So I want to consider the wonders of this place that some people call heaven, we call home, and the world don't know what to call. They're just looking for some way to get out of this world because they're in such misery as it is. And so now what we're going to be looking at, there's 3 points left. It may take Christmas to get over them, I don't know. But it's 3 points left on this subject. Some call it heaven. I call it home. And in these verses in chapter 21, we're going to look at, here's the three areas you look at. You're going to do some research this week. We're going to look at the gates of this city. And what amazing thing that God has shown me about these gates. We're going to look at the glories of this city. And we're going to look at the guarantees of this city that God has given for those who are saved. And a lot of that, he's going to help us see things we never saw before. My Father, thank you for these precious people. Lord, I must, to preach the whole counsel of God, preach on hell. It has to be done if I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel. But I thank you, I have the privilege to preach about this place where we're going. I thank you for laying on my heart weeks ago to get in love with this while we're doing other things. And I thank you now, just please help me. Lord, please help me get it across like I feel it in my study at home and what you show me and how I stop and weep and sometimes rejoice because Lord, this thing becomes a reality. The world looks at heaven as some happy ground to go yonder somewhere or another, float on clouds the rest of our eternity. Most people have no idea what it's going to be like. And yet in their imagination, it runs wild. Lord, help our imagination be guided by this precious book, the Word of God. What little bit you gave us, and you gave us enough to know it's there. But Lord, we want to wrap our mind around what you have given us. But our Heavenly Father, we realize it's nothing. We can't even begin to imagine what it's like when we see it and compare what we imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So as we look at this, we remind the subject when Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 2, that all of this that we see, just keep in mind, no matter how great it may seem to our heart, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love Him. And Father, a man can talk to his has no breath and say, I love God. But if he repudiates what you say about your Son and refuse to accept Him, reject Him as Savior, they don't know what love is. Help someone today. Help someone today, or this week, or during these few weeks of messages, Lord, to see Jesus Christ, that He's the door into the, He's the door, Lord, before we ever get to the gates of this city. Please honor yourself. Help someone today, I pray, to see their need. As we talk about a place that God is going to take us one day and promise us, in John 14, shows us the plan in 1 Thessalonians 4, and He gives us the description, Revelation chapter 21. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.